The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Do not store up for yourself, said Jesus, treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body, so if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For it is the Gentiles who strive for all these things, and indeed your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Strive first for the kingdom of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Does money make the world go round? At a very simple level, the answer is yes. Money is what enables us to buy food, clothing, shelter, to trade with one another, to enjoy the many good things of life. But at a more subtle level, this saying is, of course, misleading. To say that money makes the world go round is to say that money does everything for us. This saying puts money at the center of the world, rather than putting it in its place as a tool which, when used fairly and rightly, can enable life to go well. As the French Enlightenment thinker Voltaire said, don't think money does everything, or you're going to end up doing everything for money. Jesus made the point first in the Sermon on the Mount, you cannot serve both God and wealth. Talk of money may seem out of place in a church service, but the Bible actually has a great deal to say about money. Money is mentioned more than 800 times in Scripture. Jesus spoke about money on a number of occasions. He spoke of the importance of wise investment in the parable of the talents. He warned his followers about the dangers of acquiring too many possessions and of valuing material wealth more than the spiritual treasure of loving God and neighbor. The Bible also has some interesting teaching about debt. It teaches the necessity of lending in some cases, but also the need to repay what we owe and to lend justly. We could devote an entire sermon series to what the Bible teaches about money. But this morning, we're focusing on one particular theme, that of giving money to fund the mission and ministry of our church. This month, we're running a stewardship campaign focused on the generosity of God and our response. Today is set aside to help us think about what we currently give financially to Holy Trinity, and to spend time prayerfully considering what we give, how we give, and whether we might be able to give more. The biblical term for this is tithing. The word tithe is from an old English root meaning one-tenth, and is an English translation of a Hebrew term in the Law of Moses, which commanded that 10% of agricultural income should be given back to God. Tithing covered ministry in the sense of funding the ministry of the priests, but it also covered mission in that money was set aside to help those in the community who were in particular need. The Church of England still follows this biblical practice in advising its members to give 5% of their net income to their church and 5% to other charities supporting people in need. In the New Testament, Jesus is aware of the practice of tithing. He doesn't specify a figure, but he does make it a matter of the heart. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. When it comes to money, it's the attitude of our heart that matters more than the amount we give. Paul makes a similar point. Each of you must give as you have made up your mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. As I expect you all know, the Church of England receives no state funding, despite being the established church of our country. As a parish, we are entirely self-sustaining and depend on the generosity of our members, you, to support mission and ministry, to maintain the running costs of our historic building, to have enough in our reserves to plan prudently for the future, to give money away to charities. The PCC has been discussing the need for a stewardship focus for quite some time. When I arrived here in June and examined our finances, I agreed that a fresh focus on financial giving was needed. Over the past years, our income has been decreasing while our expenditure has gone up. There are a variety of reasons for this, but one reason is that giving tends to be static. You may give a set amount of money per month to the church, for example, and this remains unchanged, but most of our expenditure goes up with inflation. The biggest expense of any parish is the parish share, the amount we pay to the central pot to cover the costs of the diocese, including salaries, administration, and mission. Our parish share and our other costs go up with inflation. Costs such as buying office supplies, heating, lighting, insurance, equipment, music, and so on. So today, in light of all this, we place a fresh emphasis on giving to support the mission and ministry of this church. This is a matter of the heart between you and God, the giver of all good things. God has a vision for our church. We are in the process of discovering it together. This is going to sound a bit strange. Please don't think your new vicar has gone bonkers. But I had a dream recently. It was a dream in which I saw clearly three areas of mission that I would like to focus on here at Holy Trinity. The first is our building project, and I've already spoken about that in previous weeks, and so many of you are already giving so generously to support that project. The second is our connection with C.S. Lewis. I think God is asking us as a church to consider how we can follow in Lewis's footsteps by seeking to communicate the Christian faith to the widest possible audience young and old alike, throughout our whole parish area and beyond. The third is our role in baptizing and nurturing new believers, seeing new members, especially younger members, come to faith and develop their faith, connecting them with the stories of faith that give life, strength, and hope in an increasingly complex and challenging world. The Vision Day in January will be a chance to continue exploring God's vision for our church. And to fulfill this vision, we need resources. To invest in children's and youth work, we probably need to invest in a paid youth worker. And currently, we don't have the funds for such a post. To enable a full-time curate to come and work here alongside me, we need to raise more income, because we currently rely on the rental income from our curate's house to support our general parish finances. To plan prudently for the future, we need to replenish our reserves. And in all this, we need to continue to be generous in giving out, as a PCC, a percentage of our income to charities, remembering that as a church, we must model the generosity that we're asking of our members. So I ask each of you, if you currently make no regular financial contribution to the church, please consider if you are able to do so. Regular giving is so helpful to financial planning. If you do give regularly through envelopes or through standing orders, please consider whether your circumstances allow you to give more. And today, we launch a new way to give through a direct debit scheme known as the Parish Giving Scheme, which is supported by the Diocese of Oxford. Each of you have a pack to take home and read more information about this scheme. It's designed to ease the burden of administration on our volunteers, because through this scheme, the gift aid is claimed centrally on a monthly basis, helping with cash flow, and there's even the option to allow your donation to increase with inflation each year if you so choose. I can confirm that my household have signed up to the Parish Giving Scheme. It was a very straightforward process. It took a few minutes to fill out the form. I posted it, had a confirmation through the post within a week, and our monthly donation will begin on the 1st of November. And all this created no extra work for our treasurer or planned giving officer. So I do commend this scheme to you to read over and pray through. And please do speak to me, to Richard Stoneman, to Andy Wilson, our plan giving officer, if you have any questions about this method of giving or anything else relating to financial giving, such as leaving a legacy in your will or donating money to a specific project or aspect of church life that you are passionate about. I hope this is the beginning, not the end, of a much bigger conversation about financial giving. One of the most fundamental themes in Scripture is that God owns everything. As Psalm 24 says, the earth is the Lord's and all that is in it. Money doesn't make the world go round. God makes the world go round. And God has created a world in which it's possible to earn money. Our task is to be wise stewards of what does not really belong to us in the first place. This is why we speak of stewardship of wealth, rather than ownership of wealth. All money ultimately belongs to God, and so it's only right to consider whether and what we can give back to the God who blesses us so abundantly and who blesses our mission and ministry in this parish. Give us grateful hearts, O Lord, as we consider what we give to fund the mission of this church and to all who are in need. Amen.